Hear NFL legends, players, coaches, and media members from around the country sharing their insights and stories with us year-round. Here on Thursday Night, Tailgate.
And welcome back, Mr. LC Greenwood. LC is becoming a little bit of a regular on the show, and we can't be more honored and tickled pink about that. So, LC, how are you tonight?
Well, it's a little late, and at this stage of the game with me, it's about bedtime.
We won't keep you too long.
We'll try not to keep you very long, LC. To be honest with you, it's getting close to mine, too.
Well, I know you guys are young kids, and you're all Super Bowl hyped up, so I didn't think you would sleep at all this week.
On some level, LC, I'd like to sleep and wake up on Monday and find out who won, because I got like I've said all night long, I got no good outcome with this game. So let's talk a little bit about your Super Bowl experiences. Obviously, your first one was down there in New Orleans. With this game being played there, does it bring back memories for you for that first trip in Super Bowl IX?
Well, you know, actually, I just thought about that since you brought it up. Yes, it does, and no, it doesn't, because it's been so long ago. Actually, I had, excuse me, I had really forgotten that, I had not even thought about our first appearance down there in New Orleans. Of course, when we went down, there were a whole bunch of things. I think we did our deal at Tulane Stadium, and it was our first trip to the Super Bowl. So there was just a whole lot of newness in it for us, and a whole lot of newness in it for New Orleans as well. But I think New Orleans is a great place to have a Super Bowl game.
Mm-hmm. So I heard an interview not that long ago, as it was replayed with Joe Green, and he talked about when you guys got there, Chuck sort of let you guys go have some fun for a couple of days. And that seems to me, from what I've heard about Chuck, that seems out of character for him. Am I wrong about that? And, you know, he was more loosey-goosey than we maybe give him credit for?
Well, I don't think Chuck was loosey-goosey. I think he was understanding, and he understood who he had, what he had, the football team that he had, and being the first time that we had to experience anything like that, he probably thought it'd be great for us to go out and just have fun and forget that we hopefully forget that we got a football game to play on Sunday. But then, naturally, being in Chuck's camp, he's going to remind you of that and bring that to your attention. But yeah, I think the reason, and probably, and I don't know, but since you brought that up, probably his intentions were to let us unwind a little bit and then bring us back to the football game.
Mm-hmm.
So
which I think that was great strategy, because as you well know, all the things that happened during that week, and all, especially with us, with Dwight having the problems that he had before the game, the whole week before the game, and rolling out of the hospital bed on Sunday morning, and going out pumping up with fluids, and going out to play the game, and then the things that we did on the field defensively, and Franco, set the first a Super Bowl record, I think, because he won the MVP in that game. So there was just a whole bunch of things that happened, because there were guys out there that didn't know anything about Super Bowls on our side. Nobody knew anything about Super Bowls. So we had all those guys out there, and we were out there just, you know, having a good time. And we went out there on Sunday. You know, when you know what you got to do and you go out on the field on Sunday, it's a good time out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that was going to be my first question, was about Dwight White. I mean, we were kind of talking about it before the show. Yeah. He actually got an illness on the flight over to New Orleans, right? It was some sort of inflammation of the lungs or something like that? And he spent like...
Yeah, I don't remember exactly what it was now, but he did contract something on the way there. To New Orleans. Naturally, it was cold in Pittsburgh, and then we go down to New Orleans where, you know, it's hot now. And then there was just some things, I guess he contracted on the way down there and ended up Tuesday, Wednesday that week, I think, he got real sick, so they had to take to the hospital. And he wasn't really even expected to play, but, you know, you get there. I see these guys talk about, I just can't go today. But, you know, when you get to that, those once-in-a-lifetime opportunities, you know, you find a way to do it. You find a way to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, he comes in like 20 pounds under his normal playing weight at the last second, and then he actually accounted for the Steelers' first point when he sacked Tarkenton in the end zone for a safety.
So you
got these two defenses ranked number 2 and 3 in the league. Did you think it was going to be that much of a defensive battle in the first half, or did you think at some point somebody was going to break it open?
You know, actually, I'm surprised that the game was as close as it was on either side. You know, I, of course, have a lot of confidence in our team and knowing, what we were up against. And, you know, Minnesota Vikings, I think, had been there, it was either 2 or 3 times before. So, you know, we were, as a matter of fact, it was, quite strange all week because all you media people were looking at the Vikings and talking to the Vikings, and, you know, we would just go out for our press conference, and we'd be out throwing footballs with each other because the media didn't talk to us. It wasn't talking to us too much. So you know, it was kind of, I think you all may have helped that situation. I'm not saying you because I don't know if you were born there, but I'm saying you media. You know, you probably helped the situation because we got a little frustrated being ignored out there doing press conferences when we were called to go to press conferences and we had to go out and throw footballs around.
Wow. So here the Vikings, you know, they were actually had not that great of a pass defense, and they actually had a good run defense. So I'm looking at the game, and I see you guys run up all these yards. I mean, you had almost 250 yards rushing against these guys. So was the original game plan to actually attack that weak secondary through the air, and something happened, and you guys had to turn to the running game? How did that all, come about?
Now, you wouldn't dare ask me a question like that. I have a defense in the end. All I do want to do is go out and play. Well, I don't know what they were doing out there offensively. I wanted to. Rather, my objective is the three guys that played there beside me and the three guys that played behind me as the defensive linebackers, all we wanted to do was see who they give the ball to and go get them. And that's what we tried to do. And not only that game, but in every game, you know, so we want to see who the quarterback gives the ball to, and we're going to go get him. If he's keeping, we have to hit. So, a lot of time, I think, Tarkenton ran into those problems. He tried to keep the ball. So, by him trying to keep it, we were after him. So, well, that's, you know, defensive line, we don't go out telling everybody that we are Rhodes Scholars or anything like that. As a defensive lineman, your job is to go get the person that has the football. But wherever that football is, that's where we go. We don't know what we go into meeting rooms and, sit there while the coaches are sitting there drawing up the X's and O's and all that kind of stuff. You know, we are looking at each other, talking about other things that don't even pertain to football. All we want to do is just go after the person that has the football. So we don't understand all of that stuff you talk about. Well, he gave it to Franco, and he ran all through the defense. Well, those guys didn't see who they gave the ball to, or they didn't want to go get him because that's not what defensive linemen do.
Interesting.
So we like to try to make it quite simple, and just as the game is called football, and you go tackle a person. The football, so that we'd like to make it quite simple. We want to go to the person that has the football and try to do that. That's why they call us defensive linemen. They don't give us no other names, no great names like linebackers or stuff like that. It's defensive and defensive tackles, and that's what we do. Beat up the people or get beat up trying to get to the football.
So, and we talked a little bit about this last time we had you on the show. We had LaVon Kirkland a few weeks back, and LaVon talked about trying to corral Kevin Green and Greg Lloyd, and he'd be in there trying to call signals, and they'd look at him going, "Oh, we're not running that." And you know what I mean? That's a play call. We're not running that. We're going to do this. So it sounds like, you know, you guys get in the huddle and they're calling some sort of plays before you guys looking at each other like, "Look, I'm going after the football. I don't care what you guys, what the play is. I'm going after the football." Did you guys,
you know,
is that just relentless? We're pursuing the quarterback until he hands it off to somebody. And when he hands it off to that guy, we're going after him.
There you go. You know, the thing, you know, if you use football scholars, as we like to call them, try to make this thing more complicated than it is. You know, it's not easy for me playing defensive line, weighing 225, 230 pounds, to go up against some offensive lineman weighing 300 or 3-something. I can't go sit there all day and fight with this guy and then try to go where the football is. That's all he want to do. The big fat guy want to hold on to me while I'm trying to run around him after whoever the quarterback targets or whoever there, or trying to run around somebody to get to whoever's running the football. I'm trying to run a ball carrier down with a 300-pound offensive line hanging on. That's not easy. So you know, that's what we try to do as defensive linemen. We don't want all that baggage. We just want to go. We don't need to know, sit there and listen to the coaches talk about the X's and the O's, you know. X's and the O's are not running footballs and not making tackles, you know. It's the people out there on the football field that's doing it, and those people are being you and you being defensive linemen.
Right. So you obviously got to play in 4 Super Bowls. You one like we talked about when it was in New Orleans. You played twice in Miami, and then at the end you got the game out in Pasadena. Which city did it up the best? Where was the best Super Bowl that you got to play in? Just from a, you know, the city did a great job in welcoming us and providing for us.
Well, yeah, you know, as I said earlier, I think New Orleans is just a great place for a Super Bowl game. It's just. And I say that because the convenience of the of everything, you know, the stadium, you can walk to the stadium, you know, from the French Quarters, excuse me, from the French Quarters, you can walk to the football game, and the fans, you know, they get a chance to just kind of, you know, hang out with each other because we get on the bus taking. A trip to the Superdome, which I think it took probably 15 minutes or so on a bus. And, you know, we see fans that we saw the night before going in the hotel, we see them coming out of the same bar we saw them going in the next morning. So that they walk about down singing, "Here we go, Phil," you know, and all that kind of stuff, you know.
Okay.
So the Orleans, I thought, and I still think it's just a great place to have a big game like that, because it does take away, but it does add to the ambiance and the whole football environment. You know, people are walking, talking, and acting a fool and doing all kinds of things on the way to the football game. I think it's a great city to have that kind of function in.
Yeah. When you guys played the Rams in Super Bowl 14 in Pasadena, it was essentially a home game for them. But as you mentioned, you know, no team travels like the Steelers. There's no fans like Steeler Nation. They represented you guys well out there. You know, talk about how well, you know, you guys felt supported as you went, you know, not only, you know, to Super Bowls, but on road games, to have the fans just kind of always take over the opposing city's town.
Well, you know, the interesting part about us as a football team, they always had us in some kind of out of the way place, so we didn't get a chance to really participate in all the activities leading up to and surrounding the game. We were just, it's a business, you know. We were football, that's what we did, you know. We were around this, we had to be taken to the hotel with security because our fans were so wild, you know, and they just kind of hung out outside the hotel. You walk out the hotel, you get bombarded by fans. You come back to the hotel, you see the same thing is going on. We, you know, to steal the nation, that's something that, you know, you can't really describe. You just have to be a part of it. You know, we got some serious fans, and it just grew and grew and has grown and still growing. And it's almost, when you talk about football, if you're not a member of the Steeler Nation, then you are not really a football fan.
There you go. See, I knew I'd think about it when you came on the show. So, LC, when you look at, you know, you guys beating the Cowboys twice, was beating the Cowboys extra sweet because they always went around touting themselves as America's team? Did that get under your craw? You talk about Steeler Nation and all of that. You know, as them calling themselves America's team, did that give added incentive to prove to them that they weren't?
Well, I think it just put added pressure on them because you know, everybody talks about the Dallas Cowboys as America's team. I think that just kind of put added pressure on them to go out and win a football game. So they and it's tough to have to go out and win a football game when you got a team that's pretty good on the other side of the ball. Now, if you got a team on the other side of the ball that's not pretty good, and we were just not a mental football team. We were very physical. You know, and then of course we proved that we could go out and play with those guys that those teams that were wanted to be and were very physical, like the Raiders and the Oilers and was another team that was very fit. I think it was Cleveland at that time. You know, we could go out and play with those very physical football teams, and then we could go out and play very well with those guys that thought they were role stars, like the Dallas Cowboys and the San Francisco 49ers and, you know, those kind of guys, the football team.
Mm-hmm. So, LC, you know, before one last thing before we let you go, one of my favorite quotes, and I've got, you know, all the Steelers videos, and the one that you were a part of, the America's Game video that you were a part of about Super Bowl 14, a quote that you had in there says, "If you got it in the heart, all that other stuff doesn't matter." And that's something I take to heart every day. I think that's a fantastic quote for you know, how you live your life. And I just wanted you to know that made a difference in mine, and I appreciate that very much. And I appreciate you coming on the show as often as you've been a part of it, because you're fantastic, and you make me feel better every time I hear your voice.
Well, thank you very much. And just remember, that just doesn't it's just not true for a football player, you know, that and a football game. That's true for life in general, you know. If you got it in your heart, you know, then whatever you want to do, however you want to do that, you know, you can some kind of way get it done. So, you know, you just got to be focused and stay pointed toward the target.
There you go. LC, thanks for giving us a few minutes of your night. We'll let you get on with it. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being such a great guest and being willing to join us periodically. We hope to keep the relationship going and talk soon.
All right. Thanks very much, guys. Have fun. Enjoy the game on Sunday. And are you in New Orleans?
No, we didn't make it down to New Orleans. Disappointed to say so.
Oh, okay. Well, you'll be like me if you get a chance to turn the TV on.
Yeah, absolutely. You can count on
all
that.
All right. Okay.
All right, LC. Take care.
All right. Thank you.
Good night.
Bye.
There you go. I feel better now, Ange. It was tough. Yeah. Enough getting through the show, but now I feel better.
How did he go ending his interview like that? He with this eloquent, you know, little quotes and everything. And before that, he's like, "Oh, we're just a bunch of dumb football players just trying to find the guy with the ball."
Very simply, kept it simple. That's all. No big deal.
Was that the same guy that was in the first part of the interview?
indeed.